Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today is Thursday, March 14th. Danny's not here today. She had to stay home to catch up on some sleep, which we can understand. But I do have a great guest in the studio, and we're going to spend a great time here talking about all kinds of interesting things, and I'm looking forward to it. Just to keep you posted on like the weather, like we do every day. We have a beautiful day in LA, like you really care, but we thought we'd give it to you anyway. Anyway, I'm going to introduce my guest today, so since I don't like talking to myself, and I'm joined by Mr. Ronnie Landis. Welcome to the show, Ronnie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Get a little closer to the mic. There you go.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you for joining me. Where did you drive from this morning?
I drove from Boyle Heights, so basically downtown L.A.
Oh, is that where you live?
That's where I live right now.
Okay,
I have a little
cool
landing spot over there. I've lived all over Hawaii, all over the Hawaiian Islands, San Diego,
really?
Northern California.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you just moved from the San Diego area before?
Well, I just moved from San Diego, but right before that I was in Maui. Right before that, I was in Kauai, so I've been jumping around the world a little bit, giving lectures and just, you know, different things I do as an entrepreneur, moving around. And
it's nice to be able to do that. I mean, you get to travel while you work and stuff, and to exotic places too.
Yeah, well, that's what I like to call the self-architected or the self-designed life.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so tell us, so we'll talk a little about the details of stuff a little more, but first tell us what it is that you do. Like you said, you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
What is your passion in life?
Oh, man. Well, my central passion is around health and nutrition, natural foods, healing, human performance. Really, at the end of the day, what I do is I'm a human potential specialist with a focus on natural food and natural nutrition. So I'm a nutritionist. That's my profession.
Oh.
And I support people in a diversity of ways of healing, of regeneration of their physical body. Helping them, you know, really just live their best life. And I also do a lot of work in psychology. So so there's a mind-body combination to the work that I do, you know, healthy mind, healthy body, and supporting people to live their best life.
Yeah, sounds good. So you had to go to school for that?
I've done a lot of schooling, but a lot of it was self-educated. I have a pretty extensive background in human performance from a fitness and physiological perspective. I was raised as a martial artist from age 4.
Really?
Yeah, so that's a whole other part of my journey, if you want to go into kind of my background.
Yeah, where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Northern California in the Bay Area,
uh-huh.
You know, like Oakland, Berkeley, San Francisco,
right.
Contra Costa. And like I said, I was raised as a martial artist. So for the first 25 years of my life, I was actually completely focused on athletics, on fitness, on martial arts. I was an Olympic hopeful for Taekwondo.
Very nice. So how did you get into that? Your parents directed you in that?
It's so funny. My parents didn't direct me into it. I feel like I was born into it. I feel
really?
Like there was something that was already inside of me.
Right.
And the first conscious memory I have of in this lifetime is actually of Bruce Lee.
Really?
The movie. You remember the movie Enter the Dragon?
Of course.
I don't remember. I was 4 years old. I don't remember anything in my life before that. It was like imprinted on me. I saw it when I was a kid and something kind of got triggered inside of me.
Wow.
And ever since, I have been absolutely driven in that direction.
Yeah, very interesting. What was the name of the guy? Jim Kelly, the black guy in the movie,
Jim
right?
Kelly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was a big karate
expert
too at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool, but I clearly remember the time when Bruce Lee. I don't think was the first one to come on the scene, but he became like the star.
He was like the icon.
Those karate
movies. You know, Bruce Lee is such an incredible archetype and icon of a human being, because what he ended up doing, not only was he an amazing martial artist and a philosopher, but he bridged two worlds at a time in the segregation of our country, at a time where there was so much kind of racial division. He actually bridged the Asian culture with the American culture and opened people's minds. So he wasn't just a martial artist or a philosopher. He was really, you know, a hero.
Yeah. So he opened up people's minds, you're saying, to Asian cultures and
yeah,
things
and,
like
and
that.
Just, you know, what's possible when we let go of kind of the box yeah. or the dogmas that we might have or the whatever, the religious beliefs or the prejudices of those times, and we actually open up to life and realize, like, hey, we all have a gift inside of us. We all have a human potential. We all have a dream. So maybe we shouldn't limit ourselves by our own biases or prejudices. Maybe we should open up to life and explore our human potential.
Right. And how to do that. That's what you do. You teach
Absolutely.
People how to.
Yes.
Very interesting. You know, so do you feel that people that get into this already have sort of like the seeds planted in them already? Mm. Because not everybody believes in the stuff or follows
right.
it
right.
or understands it.
Right. I, you know, it's an interesting question. I do believe that everybody has a seed of a potential. The way that I like to say it is that, you know, you have the seeds in the fertile mind of your, in the fertile soil of your mind. Mm. And so it's really, that's why I focus so much on the mind game or the attitude game, because I believe that your attitude determines your altitude. Mm. And it also determines your aptitude. So what I mean by that is that if you have the right attitude about something, you actually can learn things quicker.
Right.
But if you have the wrong attitude, you block things off, you close doors where there could be open doors, there could be opportunities. You could learn things a lot quicker if you have an open mind. But if your mind is closed, then there's something inside everybody that I think, you know, call it a dream, call it a potential. Everybody has something inside of them. They know that, you know, they're probably not living to that potential. They have certain limitations.
Right.
And there's a lot, and you know the stories. You interview people all the time. I'm sure you hear the stories all the time. We live in Los Angeles. Like, there's so many people that have come from rags and riches. Mm-hmm. There's so many people that have been on death's door. In my world, I see people with whether it's stage 4 cancer or it's an autoimmune condition or diabetes or whatever the case is. And I've seen situations where you have two people that have an identical condition, let's call it cancer,
right?
And they've been diagnosed by the doctor. They're basically on death's door. They're told to make your will, get your accounts in order. You know, you only have 6 months to live. And I've seen cases where there's two different people and one person makes it and the other person doesn't. Mm. One person heals and the other person checks out. And mm. I always wondered to myself, why is that? And there's a lot of reasons why that is. But ultimately, what I think it comes down to is somebody has a will to live.
Right.
They have something to live for. And if somebody has something to live for beyond their own survival, you know, it's like there are no limits for those people.
Yeah, yeah. So you got to have that desire, I guess, to want to stay alive. And it comes down to attitude again, like you said, you know.
Yeah.
It's how you look at things. It's how you approach things. And that makes a lot of sense, you know. And they speak about mind over matter a lot. And I've seen it happen, you know. I've seen it happen where, just recently a friend, the father of a friend, he was like 90 something, okay, and pretty active and healthy and all that. They recently told him he had cancer, and at that point he'd given up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like all all of the vitality was taken out of him,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, because at that point he's like, so what am I living for now? You know, just to know I'm facing my death. And he died a couple months later,
wow.
You know?
Wow.
So, yeah. So, it's interesting to hear about the desire to live. And I think that's very important, because when you look at people that are depressed, they have no desire to live at all,
yes.
You know? And that's why they're more prone to commit suicide, things like that, you know?
Yes.
And that's one. Because, you see, I have bipolar disorder, which has been under control for many years with medication.
Okay.
But all I can tell you is I can still remember what it was like to be really depressed.
Mm.
And it takes, it screws up your attitude. It screws up everything, you know. So do you address these things as well? People that are like, they get depressed. How do you heal these things? How do you make people better?
Okay, yeah. And by the way, just as a disclaimer, I don't heal anything. I don't cure anything. I don't even cure ham. I'm actually a vegetarian, so
but
I don't do
doesn't
any of
it
that,
say but something about healing here?
Absolutely. So my perspective on healing is that the body has an innate healing capacity within it. So it's not the food that heals the body, it's the support. The body actually heals itself, but the problem is that if the body is overrun with stress, if it's overrun with environmental toxins, it's overrun with, let's say, processed food that's detracting or it's weighing the body down, right. the vital energy in the body basically gets leaked. And so the body actually, there's only so much that it can take. It's like the last straw that broke the camel's back kind of thing, right?
Right.
So the body is designed to heal itself. It's unbelievable if you really think about, like, everything that I know, everything that, the top physicians and scientists and researchers know, we still don't know how this whole thing works. We have an approximation. We have physiology. We have anatomy. We have nutritional understanding and all that. So we have a good idea of how things support the healing body, but we don't understand the spirit. And that's really, and I don't really take a religious view, but I do take a spiritual perspective that, you know, each one of us has like this indomitable spirit inside of us. So first of all, if we can tap into that, and how do I simplify that? Well, just identify what is your dream. Right. And that goes back to, what are you here to do? What do you love to do? What is that thing that you'll wake up early in the day, you'll go late, you'll stay up late, you'll wake up early? What is that thing that drives you? And then once you find that, I found that all the other lifestyle habits and patterns start to adjust themselves. Because when someone wants to live here, they want to live and they have something to accomplish, they have some work to do before they go, then they start thinking to themselves, well, I better like be in a vital body. I better like take care of my health. So then all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe I should drink more water.
Right.
Maybe I should drink like this green juice they're telling me about over at like the Air One health food market or something. Maybe I should like eat an organic. I keep hearing this word organic. What's that mean? Maybe I should try that. You know what I mean? It's like you start kind of going down that road. And once somebody starts to feel better,
right,
all of a sudden, it's not conceptual. It's not me or someone else telling them an idea or a theory. They have an experience of feeling better, and all of a sudden it creates a momentum. Right. And that momentum is not just a physical momentum, it's an emotional momentum. Their emotions start to get moving in the right direction. They start to move up opposed to moving down, because the depression is like a compression.
Right.
If you think about that, like your emotions and your mind and your body are being compressed and they're being kind of stifled. So what we want to do is actually open that up, open up the energy. It's kind of, I don't know if you're familiar with yoga, but the whole idea is that you're opening the body, you're opening the system.
Okay.
And so that's a simple way to kind of think about it. Aging is basically, it's like gravity. It's like you're being gravitationally suppressed and pulled down. So if you notice, when people get older, they start to get crippled and they start to, right, their body starts to kind of infold inward, and then they get closer and closer into the ground. So longevity or health is a levity. It's that upward energy. So when our back, so basically your spine, for example, starts to get erect, you start to actually open up. And, you know, you start moving towards the heavens, so to speak. So I don't know if that really answers your question, but those are some of the thoughts that I work with often when I'm working with people. And obviously, you know, you got to start where you are. You got to start with the basics. And then you start moving. I basically tell people, you know, you got to do what makes sense to you with where you are. It's not about throwing everything in the kitchen sink all at once, because I think people can overwhelm themselves.
Right.
It's like, add in the green vegetable juice. Adding in, you know, we have this acronym ADD, attention deficit disorder. That's not the way that I use it. ADD means to add something good in. Uh-huh. And so like this drink I have right here, this like superfood green shake I have right here.
What does it taste like?
It's basically like it's a mix of different green powders like spirulina and like different grass powders.
Right.
So it has a nice little flavor. You know, it tastes like apple berry.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Yeah, so it's palatable.
Yeah. But just to let you know, since you can't see, but Ronnie has a very green drink with him today. And as opposed to my Diet Coke. So
our drinks we'll get you taken care of.
I know.
Don't worry.
Our drinks are sort of like eyeing each other going, what are you doing here?
I just want to finish that. I don't want to leave people on a cliffhanger. So this idea of adding in. Uh-huh. So my approach is not about deprivation. It's not about starvation because, you know, living here in L.A., so many diets. Just by the way, everyone listening, think about the word diet has the word die in it.
Right.
I'm not into that. I'm into living it. So what you want to do is add one good thing in. What will happen is it will start to remove something of a lower nature. So it's kind of like adding in something of a higher nature naturally removes something of a lower nature. People have all these food habits and food addictions, right? And they're struggling with it. And they're trying to do these yo-yo diets that just leave people confused or even worse than they were. Right. And that's not my approach. My approach is just add in the green juice. Add in 1 liter of water in the morning with some lemon in it, maybe some sea salt. Add in that superfood smoothie that maybe you heard about from the health nut over at the store. You know, just add something in because it increases your self-esteem. It makes you feel better about yourself. Once somebody has more self-respect, they feel better about themselves. It creates a momentum, and all of a sudden, they start changing all kinds of things. But it's not because I told them to do it. It's because they actually felt the effects.
Right.
And it
if it works, then it works. You know,
exactly.
You can't argue with it. You know?
Right.
Yeah, very cool. So let's go back to your childhood a little bit. So you jumped right into martial arts and stuff. So that was like, what, the center of your life for all these years?
That was 100%.
Really?
That was the savior.
That's how you
defined
yourself.
Yes. It was like I said, like by the age of 4, that was the only thing I knew. Now, obviously, there's a lot more backstory to that. I got into martial arts. I understood the philosophy. I didn't have a father growing up in my life. He was never around. So I was raised by my mom and my grandmother. I had some confusion around, you know, what is it to be a man? And like, I had no real role model other than my grandfather at the time.
Right.
But Bruce Lee, interestingly enough, I kind of feel like he was like a surrogate male role model.
Yeah.
That's
what you aspired to be as a man.
Yeah, it gave me a direction.
So you saw more than just the physical fighting.
Oh, my God. Oh yeah. I saw the charisma. I saw a real life superhero.
Yeah.
And I was into superheroes and Batman and all that. I loved all that. But I never saw a real living superhero. And obviously Bruce Lee was like, he was long gone by then. But his spirit lived on. How else do you say it? And it did something to me. Right. And it gave me a direction in life. And an interesting story. So when I was 15 years old, I had gone through the things that most of us as men do. I had, you know, tried to seek validation through chasing women and trying to, you know, fill in that void. That didn't work. I got into hanging out with my friends and partying and smoking and drinking and all that. But there was something in me that just would not keep quiet. And so I was at this crossroads where it was basically, am I going to go down this path? Or am I going to go down this path?
Right.
And I was running on the track and field, and something stopped me. I don't know if you've had an experience like this, but something stopped me in my tracks. It was almost like a lightning bolt, and a voice came into my mind, and I was very aware it wasn't my voice. And it said, do you think you're going to live forever? Because I was kind of just teeter-tottering in between these two different directions.
Right.
And it stopped me. It sobered me. It actually sobered my mind. And the next day, I left all the silly stuff I was doing and committed myself 100% to my dreams of going to the Olympics. I had always had that dream, but I didn't have the confidence, probably because I didn't have a father. I didn't really know who I was at the time.
Right.
And it just clicked. And I just devoted everything to going into the gym, training 3 times a day, working with my trainers, like really painting a picture for my future. Before then, I didn't really have goals.
Right.
I just had this loose idea that maybe everything will work out and one day I'll just end up in the Olympics. And finally, I was like, no, I better chart out a plan for this and get to it. And
Yeah, wishful thinking is not a plan. Some people don't understand that.
No.
You can't just wish for something and hope it'll happen. But so that's very inspiring on your end, you know. So you had a decision to make, right?
Yes.
And you made the decision. Do you believe it was free will what you that you decided, or was it predetermined?
I feel like interesting question. I feel like
I'll tell you why I bring it up, because Danny and I have been having this conversation, and she claims that everything is predetermined. And I'm like, so where's free will here?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, because I believe that the potential and the vision for my life is predetermined, but what I do with it is free will. I believe that because nobody, you know, nobody's going to make me do anything. I can choose to not do something, but here's what I've experienced with that. If I don't follow, the more conscious and aware I become of the predetermined path, let's just call it that.
Right.
And I don't do it, the more I feel pain.
Really?
So if I want to live in suffering, then I'll avoid, I'll numb, I'll medicate myself with whatever, you know, however we distract ourselves. I won't walk that path. I will suffer. It's an internal suffering, because there's something inside of me that came here on this planet to do something.
Right.
It wasn't to go chase women. It wasn't to go like work a 9-to-5. It wasn't to just survive or just get by. It was to actually, I had a mission to do.
Right.
And so if I don't actually walk that path, and some people have that as a religious experience, they have it as a whatever someone's experience, let's just use the word God, however you interpret that. If I don't follow God's command or my spirit, then I'm disobeying the coordinates of why I came here. And so that's and it's funny you bring that up, because this is something I've been meditating a lot more on and getting really, I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to this can relate to that. And this is a huge part of health, by the way.
Right.
It's not just what you put in your mouth. It's actually in Ayurveda, the yogic tradition, they have a word for this called dharma. So you probably heard
of
karma, right? Karma is like the repeating patterns and like kind of the addictive cycles that we're on. It's that suffering. It's the karma that we're trying to learn a lesson from. But the dharma is your authentic self. The dharma is who you actually are. It's walking the path of your dreams. And I found that just like those two people sitting on those gurneys, one person makes it, the other person doesn't. The person who makes it is the person who makes a choice to follow that calling.
Right, right. But of course, it's not always like that. I mean, we'd like to think it's that. But
it's not always so simple. I'm simplifying the experience for sure.
Right. You know, because some people are just, maybe they're not meant to die yet. You know, I don't know. But no, the thing is that in the discussions we've had here before, is that the way I look at it is God does not interfere in people's lives. And I don't think he gives commands. I think what it's about is this. Life is about cause and effect. So in other words, if you stick your finger in the socket, you're going to get electrocuted, right? That's the consequence.
Right.
But to choose whether to put your finger in there or not, that's your free will.
Right.
So you don't choose what happens if you do something, but you choose to decide what to do.
Perfect.
Right?
Beautifully put.
Right. So But Danny seems to think that everything's predetermined. In other words, if you decided to take like martial arts, it's because that's what you're supposed to do, like predetermined. But I said, but what if he decided he didn't want
to
do it?
No, and I could have very well decided not to, because how do you explain all the people in the world, all the people outside that window right there that maybe aren't doing that? So it's like, I completely agree. It's like, yeah, we have a calling, or we have multiple callings in our life, but we have the full choice whether to follow it or not.
Right, right. Exactly. And for the record, you know, I mean, everybody's got like a theory about life, about and God and all that. I happen to think God, whatever we choose to refer to it, I don't think God interferes in people's lives.
Yeah.
I think my model in my mind is the universe was created like a like The Sims, like Sim City. Mm-hmm. You sort of build something and then you let it evolve and run on its own.
Yeah.
And I don't think he interferes. I don't think we get punished and shit. Excuse me for saying that, but I don't think it's about that. I think it's about coming here to fix the soul. You know, to work on your destiny, things like that.
That's
those actually exist. But you can also say that we chose to invent those beliefs and think about them and stuff, which is, I'm saying, even if we invented all this, what's wrong with it? You know, it helps us live better.
This brings up a really interesting point. It's like, whether something is empirically true or not, does the belief around it empower us? Because it's not about facts. It's about, does this idea that I have about God, the universe, my health, my career path, whatever, does this belief empower me to make a positive difference in my life? That's really what I think is really what comes to is the crux of the matter. Because, yeah, it's like in the field of science, we have something. We have science, right, like empirical causal and effect based science. Then we have something called scientism, which is basically like a religious hijacking of science, trying to use the scientific method to get a result that is already predetermined, but it's not based on a scientific method which uses objective and non-biased science. And that's what we see kind of in the pharmaceutical world and that whole world, which we don't necessarily have to get into, but that's basically what's masquerading as science. I'm using that example to say that, is it about is people buy into this stuff and they say, well, like, look, it's science. Science says this, science says that. Well, it's like, is that making it, well, let's, instead of looking at what we believe science is in empirical facts, why don't we look at the results of our life? Is this producing a better and better result? If not, let's throw out the theory. And let's get a better theory that's going to actually make our life better.
Exactly, and work, you know, and work for us, you know. And for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Ronnie Landis. You can check out more about him at Ronnie-Landis, or hyphen, RONNIE-Landis.com. And you can see the books and everything. You've written books. We'll get into those, too. I did notice... You have sort of like a logo. Is that what you're wearing on your medallion as well? Is that the same thing as on your website?
Yeah, this is a different.
Oh, it's a different
little gadget.
Yeah, what is that?
So this is there's a famous scientist by the name of Patrick Flanagan, and this is called a Sensor 5. If anyone wants to like Google and geek out on this is basically like a piece of technology. So it's gold plated, it's titanium, and then it has five-sided pyramids that go into what's called a Fibonacci ratio, or a zero-point kind of field.
Yeah.
Basically, what that kind of translates in layman's terms is it supposedly sets up a magnetic pole. And the way that I experience this is that it filters out negative energy, and it filters in positive energy. So, for example, you and I are sitting here. If there was some kind of weird energy between us or something like that, wouldn't even be sitting here. This kind of, I don't want to go into a whole thing about this. We can do it like later, I guess. But like, I've had some weird experiences with this where I've been sitting down at a restaurant or something, and I'll notice certain people will be pulled into it. If I go to events or something I'm speaking at, I've noticed people literally will walk by me. They won't see me, but they'll see it and they'll get pulled to me. I've also noticed people will like kind of in weird ways, they'll see it and kind of like almost like a vampire seeing like a cross.
Really, like avoid it.
I've had some weird experiences here in LA.
Well, but that's pretty interesting, you know, Fibonacci numbers and all that. That's pretty interesting. So you like that kind of stuff.
Huh? I love it, man.
Have you gotten into the Kabbalah at all?
I haven't gotten not enough to talk about it. It's still something that I would have to explore to have a competency. There would be other, I guess, relative topics around maybe spirituality or theology that I would be more versed in.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's more mysticism around religion, you know, sort of like, but trying to explain why things are, you know, in like layman's term, but it's, Yeah, it's not easy. It's not for everybody. You know, you talk about dying and reincarnation and all
right.
that. Some people can't deal with that, you know.
Right.
They don't want to think about it. But I did want to ask you because on your website, you have a very striking graphic of a person in a yoga position, but it's inside a Star of David, right? And it's a six-pointed star. And so tell me the meaning behind that. Did you come up with a design?
I didn't come up with it. My graphic designer who did the artwork on the book, if you notice, there's always sacred geometry. In all my books
I noticed
on the cover,
there's always geometry,
there's
right?
There's always geometry there. And that's
why is that?
Well, the geometry is really there to infuse a symmetry. And symmetry has a lot to do with health. It has a lot to do with beauty. You know, when you study the characteristics of beauty, there's a whole science of facial symmetry, you know, and
right,
like what makes
right.
people
beautiful or not.
Yeah. And you know, I don't. And that's just kind of like or more attractive or certain things like that. You can even see that like when people are cast for roles or something.
Right.
It's a little superficial in a sense. But even when you look at the symmetry of your organs, the symmetry of your cardiovascular system or the brain, for example,
right.
it's pretty fascinating. So I think that this idea of the Fibonacci sequence and sacred geometry is actually playing out all into nature.
Mm.
And is when you look at the patterns and the spiral patterns of plants in nature and how they're operating, there's a perfect design to it.
Mm.
And there's always these kind of geometric patterns to it. And the same thing of our internal physiology. And you look at all the organs and everything, it's all playing out in a similar kind of reflective pattern.
Right.
So for me, that's just cool. Like, I didn't have any, like, overtly deep meaning. My graphic designer works with a lot of sacred geometry, so she put that together, and I was like, that looks awesome. Let's
that looks awesome,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
There you go. And but I got to tell you, this six-pointed star, which the Jews have adopted as their symbol, I don't know where I read, but somebody said that it's like the most stable geometric shape that they discovered, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things to it. I mean, it's two triangles, you know, and you can really meditate on the shape a lot. But it's very cool. So you chose a spiritual path in your life. Do you have any siblings?
I don't.
Really? So you're an only child.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of attention and stuff. Obviously,
I mean,
so your mom pushed
kind
you
of.
Pretty much, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, my mom wasn't around as much though. She was a single mom, so she was working. She was doing different things, school and business. And then my grandmother was around. Me and my grandmother didn't really get along for the first 18 years.
So you did a lot of growing up on your own,
pretty
much.
That's it. I mean, so much of my life was self-education.
Right.
I would go to find books on subjects I wanted to learn about. We didn't have YouTube back then, so I did a lot of reading, just life experience, and anything I wanted to know or needed to know, I found a way to access the information. I wasn't always like that as a kid. It took a while to get into it. But after that moment at 15 years old, that's when I got serious about my life. And that's when I became
pretty
like
early.
Yeah.
So you matured quickly, I guess you had to.
After I got that call, I was like, it was an urgency. It was
really?
Like, I didn't have a father in my life, but I felt a fatherly presence coming into my life. I don't know if you remember the movie Braveheart.
I do.
But you remember, okay, so when William Wallace's father dies, it's kind of like this rites of passage, you know, going from like, you know, an innocent boy and having to grow up very quickly. And then his uncle comes around and says, hey, I'm taking you and I'm going to raise you and basically matures him. I didn't have that exact thing, but it was kind of similar energy.
Wow. Very
yeah.
Interesting. So who was your... Was that like the Bruce Lee character? Is that
Well, that's how it started. And then, you know, through going, then I went into martial arts at a young age. So then I had like a sensei and I had other role models.
What is sensei?
A sensei is basically a Japanese master.
Right. And where did you meet him?
Just doing taekwondo. I mean, at that time, doing karate. So,
I see. Okay.
Yeah, he was my karate teacher.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. And then he becomes like your mentor. And
yeah.
Like
and that was short-lived, but that's how it started. And then eventually, after 15, then I went to a taekwondo school. And then I had my first Taekwondo master who brought me in and saw this potential in me and kind of matured me. And then, you know, there's a whole litany of people that from that point on really poured into me.
Right, right. Very cool, man. I mean, you seem to have it pretty much together. I'm sure you feel you have a lot still to learn. You're rather young, you know.
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing. Yeah, I definitely don't feel like I have it together, but I appreciate the journey I've been on, and I draw upon the journey because obviously it's like Tony Robbins says, another level, another devil. Mm. So oftentimes we can see somebody and we can think, oh man, that guy's got it all together. But behind closed doors, it's like maybe they don't have it together in their relationships. Maybe their finances are a little mixed up. You know, it's like, so we all have our journey. We all have our lessons. I'm going through it just like anyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's what life's about. I mean, I'm turning 59 in a couple months. And
congratulations.
Thank you. I don't know if that's a good thing, but okay. So, no, I'm getting used to my age, you know. I mean, it's hard because you sort of like you're between youth and the young years and then the older years, the elderly years where you see your parents and everybody else aging around you and all that shit, you know. So, and we were talking about this on the show yesterday, but I just but what I'm saying is I thought, gee, at 59, 60, you know, you're pretty much like done as far as having to learn tough lessons in life. Mm-hmm. But you're never done. Mm-hmm. You're never done. You know what I mean? Some people are like their death is dragged on and dragged on slowly, not by choice, you know. I mean, just because they're very sick and they don't die, you know. And so you never end your battles until you finally go underground, you know.
Right.
Under the ground. Yeah. But yeah, so okay, so on your website, Health, Wealth, Wisdom, and Mastery. Mm. So how did you, so is that like a program that you have?
It's not you're actually giving me an idea right now.
Okay.
I'll plant that seed for later. That isn't one of my programs. I have a lot of coaching programs that are very similar to that. I hadn't really thought about that. It's a good idea.
Okay. But tell us about the coaching and all that that you do.
Yeah, so I do a number of different coaching formats. I'm about to launch a coaching program, a group coaching program. That's already filled up right now. But I do group programs regularly.
Oh, nice.
And then I also work with specific clients one-on-one. Usually for a minimum of like 3 months to 6 months to even a year, depending on what that person wants to accomplish.
Right. And what does working with them mean? What do you do? Yeah. Talking mostly?
Yeah. Or? Well, you know, it depends. Like if I work with clients all over the world, so it's usually like some kind of like Skype type of coaching call. Right. And, you know, people come to me for a lot of reasons. In the beginning of my career, people would come to me primarily for health issues,
right.
And people obviously still do now, but now it's become more where people come to me for life, I call it life mastery. They're seeking more mastery in their life. They're seeking to be, they're seeking to accomplish something. They're seeking to overcome some kind of psychological hurdle that they've been trapped in. Right. And so my work with people has evolved from just working with them on the nutritional level to now I work with them on the nutrition level, but that's so second nature to me that it's so easy for me to help dial almost anyone into an optimized health program where that's the foundation, but then I work with them on their mind. I work with them on their limiting belief systems. I work with them on their emotional health.
Right.
You know, because that's just as important, if not more important.
So it's got to go together, right?
It's holistic. It's got to go together. Basically, what I try to do is I help somebody identify what their dream is and get absolutely clear on what's getting in the way of them pursuing their dream or maximizing their dream. And so it's basically like, you know, in a nutshell, I really believe that what I'm called to do with people is help them maximize their human potential.
Yeah. Well, that's very cool. So I can see why people want to come and participate in that. So if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, wanted to get some healing from you and stuff, what do they have to do?
Okay, well, the first thing they can do is they can check out my work at the website that you brought up, www.ronnielandis.net. That's another address.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
RonnieLandis.net.
RonnieLandis.net. That's easy.
Okay.
They can personally email me at Ronnie, R-O-N-N-I-E, at holistichealthmastery.com. That information is on my website. You can reach out to me on social media. I have an Instagram and a Facebook. So cool. I'm on those regularly. I also have a podcast called The Holistic Human Optimization Show. So I've interviewed almost 200 world-leading thought leaders in all different areas of, you know, this conversation.
Yeah.
And I do my own episodes as well. So I have a YouTube channel and all that cool stuff. But all that, you can go to my website and find that. And if someone wants to, like, Instagram is the best way.
Right. And that's easy to do.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit. You brought me a book here, The Inner Alchemy Youthening Program.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so actually hand me the book real quick.
Yeah.
This is the easiest way for me to kind of like give people a little teaser. So the Inner Alchemy Youthening Program, essentially what this book is all about, it's about maximizing your life through plant-based nutrition, understanding the importance of cleansing, of detoxing, understanding the importance of things like superfoods, things like tonic herbs, which are, you know, Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine and shamanism. These are the traditional herbs over, you know, 5,000 years of these incredible systems of medicine. Understanding longevity. This is a book about longevity, beauty, creating kind of a radiant optimism in your life. So I meld together spirituality, metaphysics, all areas of nutrition, obviously healing, longevity, and personal development all into this book. It's a very interesting infusement, but I just wanted to read something on the back that just kind of sums it up for people.
Yeah.
So your life as it stands is the culmination of the thoughts, foods, actions, and behaviors you have participated in up to this point. Vibrant health, ageless beauty, and endless enthusiasm is your birthright. This book will show you how to activate your potential for healing, inspired living, and manifesting heaven on earth.
Hmm.
So that's, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That kind of sums it up right there.
Yeah, very cool, man. So, and then I saw, do you have another book on there?
I do, yeah.
What's it called?
The Holistic Health Mastery Program.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, oh yeah, that's right, okay.
Yeah.
And that, what's that about?
So that book was really, so I have about 6 books total, but about 4 of them actually turned into that one book.
I see. Okay.
And that book is really the foundation and the tome of my work. It's an entire book on raw living food nutrition, on superfood nutrition, cleansing, detoxing, so many. It's basically the foundational work that I knew that, you know, for my career, I knew that the first book I wanted to do was going to be the foundation of everything. So that's about a 500-page book. And it's taken me about 7 years of refining it, and we finally got to a place where I'm like, oh, thank God, it's done, it's complete.
Wow.
We can put that out into the world, and I'm so proud of that book. I'm so absolutely
proud
of it.
Very cool, I'm sure. I mean, you put in so much time and effort into something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So people can get the books on your website too, right?
Yes.
So you can find everything about Ronnie on here. In the last few minutes, I wanted to ask you, I'm curious about you living in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So you were in Kauai recently and Maui.
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
So I've lived in Kauai on and off for the last 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a whole long thing in of itself. Just my connection to Hawaii and why I felt called to it. Really, the reason I went to Hawaii, I actually went to the Big Island about 7 years ago when I was doing speaking events out here in LA, and I was really building my career. Something inside of me told me that I actually needed to get out of the city,
uh-huh.
and I needed to go into Hawaii.
Right.
And when I
think that's something everybody gets
an idea of,
right?
Yeah, well,
hey, man, I got to take a vacation, go to Hawaii, you know?
Yeah, well, for me, it wasn't a vacation. It was just like I got a one-way ticket. I was in a kind of weird
place
in my
life. Did you really? Wow.
Yeah, and I just, it was faith. Like, this is how my life has been. I get these callings ever since 15 years old. Like I said, like, I just trust the calling. got a one-way ticket. I went and I stayed at this permaculture farm in the Big Island of Hawaii, and I learned so much about natural food, about wild food, about exotic fruits and superfoods. And now I realize I had to have that experience because I needed to have the experience of growing the food, what it actually looked like in a natural environment, how it felt, how it tasted.
Very interesting.
To bring that aloha spirit back into the mainland. So anyways, so I just had a connection with Hawaii and I love to go there. Basically, the way I want to design my life is having kind of a bridge between the city and between Hawaii, because, you know, it's like this is where I come to work, but then Hawaii is where I want to live.
Yeah.
And then I can go into the river, I can go into the water, I can, you know, do all the cool things that we get to do there. And Kauai is the Garden Island. It's one of the oldest land masses on the planet, 36 million years or something crazy like
and
that.
And one of the wettest too, right? Doesn't it get like
the
rainiest?
They say it's the wettest place on the world.
Yeah, yeah. And I know because I researched this because I was going to go there a few months ago, actually almost a year ago. And right as I was going to go that week, it was flooding rescue and all that shit. You know, I said, how am I going to go there now? So I canceled my trip. And so I did some reading up on it. And there's that mountain where they say it's like the wettest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the amount of rain that it gets.
Yeah. I've done a helicopter ride over that. It's outrageous. But the level of beauty, it's almost like when you go there, there's something called color therapy where people will actually,
if you see green and blue and I know, I'm like that totally, you know,
like, I mean, it uplifts you, right? Like there's people that actually heal like neurodegenerative issues and depression based issues through color therapy. And it's like when you go to Hawaii, especially Kauai or Maui in particular, you go there, the air is fresh, you get this oxygenation into your being, but then you start to look at the green. It's the greenest green you've ever seen. Actually, that is enough for people if they sit with it long enough and you go to the beach and you go to the ocean and you wash off all the dirty electromagnetic energy and the just negativity from the city, just the stress.
Right.
You go in the water, it just flushes that stuff off you. It's so therapeutic, and I just tell people, like, look, stop wishing.
Yeah.
Stop wanting. Just look. You go.
Just go.
There's an app here. I'm going to give all of you a little tip.
Okay.
There's an app on your phone called Hopper. Okay.
All right.
I've found the cheapest flight anywhere, one way, two way flights anywhere in the world into the U.S. The cheapest I've ever found. Last minute tickets. You could get a last minute ticket flight to Hawaii for $200 or something like that, one way. Like, they're just, you know, people spend more on that Starbucks for in a week or two or whatever. It's
but you know what, the flight is the least of your expenses. You have the hotel and you have the car and the food and
Airbnb,
everything.
Airbnb.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
This is my mentality is really like, there's every problem has the seed of its solution built into it.
Uh-huh.
So you never have a problem or a challenge in life if there wasn't a solution built into it. And I think that's kind of the geometry of life. That's the perfection of life, is that we're given challenges.
Right.
We're given barriers between where we are and where we want to be.
Right.
But it's our attitude that determines, oh, is that a door or is it a wall?
Right.
If it's a door, then it must be openable. I just have to find the right key to the lock.
Right. Exactly. So I need to stop thinking in the term of five-star hotels.
Right.
And
you
think
more
of Airbnb.
Forget five-star.
Right.
You get an Airbnb.
To stay in the hotel anyway. You want to be out there.
If you go to Kauai, I'll hook you up with my rental car guy. He'll take care of you. You're good, Sam. You're good.
No, I need to go to Kauai. I've been there twice, and it's, like I said, I think it's one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Yeah.
I've been to Cape Town, which is also one of the most beautiful places in the world. But you can definitely tell when you're in a beautiful place that, hey, man, you know, this is like a special place. So good for you for being able to make it real for you, you know, and that's cool. So you're able to live there for extended periods of time, too?
Yeah, and I have a lot of friends.
What's the longest you lived
there? About 2 years.
Oh, I see.
Consecutively.
And you have family, you said, there?
Yeah, well, you know, not blood family, but soul family.
Yeah. Know? How cool, man. Very nice.
Yeah.
So, well, what you managed to do really is live the life that you want to live.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And you can teach other people how to do that as well.
That's it right there.
That's the bottom line. Ronnie Landis, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It was a lot of fun. Everybody go to his website, ronnielandis.net. You'll find out everything about him. Get the books. Get the get in touch with him. Get healed. Get well, you said you're not a healer really, but you help people figure out how to.
I support people in that process.
Right, right. Yeah. Very cool. Very nice guy to have on your side, for sure. Ronnie, thank you for joining us, man.
My pleasure, Sam.
Much more continued success to you, and you're welcome back anytime.
I would love to come back when
Danny is here, and we'll talk some sense into
her.
Yeah,
we'll get
Danny
and Brigetta right here.
Exactly. We'll talk some more sense into them. All right, honey. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, Friday, with Danny. Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.